lived. It's not designed just to be memorized. And so we as Christians, again, I think we need to be on guard against the kind of slippery or the it's a dangerous thing to identify, because loving the Word is a great thing. We're all called to love the Word. But when we start to study this book more than we are living it, that's a dangerous place to be. And it's a difficult thing to diagnose. If you're there, or if I've been there, or we see other people there, it's hard to see. But it's easy. It's an easy slope to get onto, and a downhill slide to get onto. And so we need to be aware of that. That, as Pope Francis said, the Word is meant to be lived. And the Lenten season is a time where we can renew our encounter with Christ and live in the Word. And so as we enter into this season of Lent, let's live in the Word. Let's do that. Not just memorize, not just study, not just get to know, but to live it. And no surprise, there's no better example to look to than the example of Christ. This is what Jesus did. Jesus lived the Word. And we know he had the Word memorized. He knew his scriptures, which would have been most of the Old Testament to us. And he knew it well. He had it internalized. He had it in his heart. He had it on his mind. And we can see throughout the whole course of his life that this is something that he knew really well. Every example that Keith read this morning of the tempter of Satan coming to Jesus, he responded right away with a quote from the Bible, or what would have been the Bible to him. He responded with a quote. He knew the Word. He lived it out. And he had that memorized, not just to memorize it, but it prepared him for a situation of temptation. And we can see that was the very beginning of his ministry, and we can see this throughout his ministry. Whenever people would come talk to him, he would quote to them scriptures. He would open up scriptures to them. He would interpret scriptures to them. He would fulfill scriptures before their eyes. He would sometimes challenge their interpretation of scripture. But just about everything that Jesus said and lived was based off of the Torah, what was his scripture. And this is something, again, just to put a little plug in for the fall. You all got kind of the plan for the fall. We'll all have a leave of absence, and I won't be here preaching most Sundays. But Sean Rufner will be here preaching. And he is one that I think I'm excited for you, because this is something that is not my strength of really studying the Old Testament and knowing how the Old Testament relates to Jesus. But that is Sean Rufner's strength. And so that's one good thing about the fall. You guys might think there's a lot of good things. You're not going to see me as much. But, you know, I think one good thing is that you're going to get exposed to a teacher that can make some of those connections for you, to see how in so many different ways the New Testament is tied to the Old Testament. And I think it's a great opportunity for us as a community to be exposed by that. But getting back to Jesus, we can see from beginning, middle, end, all of his ministry, you know, one of his last breath, he quoted scripture. The very last thing he said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And this is a quote from Psalm 22. Jesus was a man who knew the Word, who studied the Word, and he was a man who lived the Word. And that should be our example as we enter into the Lenten season, to have that time of renewal of our life in God. Second thing I want to pull out from this quote of a Lenten theme, and Pope Francis says here, to be purified from the sin that binds us, blinds us. There's an L in there. Purified from the sin that blinds us. Lent is a time of preparation for Easter. Now, Jesus fasted for 40 days in the wilderness, and we have the time of the time of temptation. Fasting for us is time of cleansing and purification. Now, Jesus, you know, he fasted. He didn't need purification. He was the only person who's ever lived without sin, but he still fasted. But for us as humans, when we fast, it's a great opportunity for purification and for renewal. And so that's one primary reason you do that up for the Easter season, is to kind of prepare for that Holy Week, prepare for that time of purification. And that's something that we all need from time to time. I know in the past as a church, we've opened the year with 40 days of fasting and prayer. We didn't do that this year, but this, again, we're not going to do something systematic as a church. We're not doing the sticky notes. But I'd encourage you during the Lenten season and leading up to Easter to think about an appropriate way for you to fast. And if you want to think of something simple of giving up one specific thing. If you want to pick a couple days here and there and just not eat those full days, or, you know, it's different for everyone. Everyone has different capabilities. But I encourage you to pick an activity and not have the activity be the focus, but allow this to be a time of that purification. Allow that to be a time where you say, I'm setting this aside, or I'm setting this activity aside, and I'm not going to fill it up with something else. I'm going to give this time to God and allow Him to work through His Holy Spirit that purification process, to bring to light those things to which we are blind. And I think that's important. And Scripture says, Pope Francis says here in this quote, that there are sins that we are blind to, that we need to be made aware of. And I think I want to pull this out with a compare and contrast. We need to change our attitude from an attitude of thinking, I'm not the problem, to an attitude of thinking, there are things that I am blind to that I need work on. Changing from I'm not to I am. Now, you guys, many of you are parents, many of you are grandparents, many of you are teachers. You know the first response of anybody who's ever been caught in trouble. The first response of anyone who's been accused of anything, our first response is always denial, shifting the blame. We lie. Our first response is always a lie. And we inherited that from our ancestor Adam, from when God called him out and said, hey, Adam, what's changed? He's like, oh, I didn't do anything. It's the woman you put in the garden with me. And we've kind of all inherited that from generations to generations. And whenever we get in the hot seat, whenever we get called out on something, our first response is, I'm not the problem. I didn't do it. We lie. And maybe you think right now, well, that's not me. I don't tell a lie. I'm not a liar. So you're just proving my point if you're thinking those thoughts right now. If I'm calling you a liar and your first defense is to say, I'm not a liar, you can see. We automatically turn these things over in our heads and we try to defer, we try to get out of the way, we try to blame, we try to protect ourselves, we defend ourselves. Our pride doesn't allow us to say, yes, I do have that problem. Yes, I am that person. Yes, I do have that habit. We want to say, I'm not the problem. How many in this room right now would admit to being a racist? How many in this room would admit to being a bigot? How many in this room would admit to being a sexist? How many in this room would admit to being an addict? How many in this room would admit to being greedy? All these things we think right away, it's not me. I don't do that. I'm not sexist. I'm not racist. I'm not addicted to anything. Right away we think, I'm not. I'm not, I'm not, I'm not. I think that's why we need to set some time aside to fast, to spend time with God, to prepare for the Easter season. Because if everyone in the world is saying, I'm not, I'm not, I'm not, and where do these news headlines come from? Where does our current ability to have conversations with people we disagree with? Where is that coming from? Where is that coming from if not from us? I think we need to move from the I'm not to I am mentality. And that's when healing can happen. That's when we can be open to God's work in our lives. When we stop denying and start being open to the work of the Holy Spirit, we can experience healing. There's a story, this comes from London. The London Times sent out an inquiry to a number of different famous writers at the time, people that were well known, that had written articles before. And so they were soliciting articles. And they said, could you write an article? They just went out to a whole bunch of different people. They said, write an article based on this question. What's wrong with the world today? And G.K. Chesterton, who was a very famous Catholic apologist at the time, he'd written books, and he's got a, you know, Google G.K. Chesterton. There's a ton of great quotes out there. Chesterton was one that got this letter from the editor of the London Times, and he wrote this in response. Dear sirs, I am yours, G.K. Chesterton. The question was, what's wrong with the world today? And Chesterton said, I am. This is the attitude I think more of us need to develop. I need to develop. I am. I have things in my life that need purified. I have habitual sins that need addressed. I have habits in me that I may not be aware of, that I'm blind to, that God wants to redeem and wants to change. And I'm not saying that we all need to be the beating ourselves up and say, woe is me, I'm not good enough. The pastor said I have problems, I know I have problems, I'm always, you know, I'm guilty, I don't want to give that attitude. But I think we need to just change from defensive to openness. And this is what King David, who was a man after God's own heart, he figured this out. He figured it out the hard way through being called out on the carpet for having an adulterous affair and then murdering someone. It took him a long ways to figure this out, but he did eventually figure it out. And this is what he said when he figured it out in Psalm 57, verse 17. He said, "My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, God, you will not despise." That broken and contrite heart. Can we be a people of broken and contrite heart? This is what Jesus modeled his whole life. This is what G.K. Chesterton modeled with his response to the editor of the London Times. Can we model this in our lives, especially in this lead up to the Easter season? Lastly, I'm going to look at two things that come out of this quote. It says, "Lent is a favorable season for renewing our encounter with Christ, living in his word, in the sacraments, and in our neighbor." Now, we as Mennonites, we don't practice the sacraments, but this idea of an encounter with Christ in our neighbor, I think that's an important thing we want to pick up here. And then towards the end of the quote, he said, "Be purified from the sin that blinds us and serve Christ present in our brothers and sisters in need." So this idea of living in the Word with our neighbor and serving Christ who is present in our brothers and sisters in need. And this is something that I want to continue to learn about and continue to move forward as an individual and as a congregation. And this is the language that the whole missional movement is moving towards. Pope Francis, I'm not sure if he's a big missional guru. I don't think that's his thing. But it comes out in this quote. And we can see kind of the rhetoric over the last number of, I don't know if it's decades or centuries or millennial, is the idea that we need to send missionaries to places that God isn't there. We need to send people to places of darkness. We need to send people that can preach the word where the word isn't there. And kind of the missional idea is saying, well, that language isn't very helpful because it implies that there are places that God isn't. We need to instead think of the God, if God is omnipresent, if God is everywhere, God is at work in places that we are not aware of. That there's no place in this world that God isn't. And there's no person in this world that God isn't already at work at in their hearts and in their lives. And that our call is to be attentive to where the Spirit is moving. To be attentive to where God is calling us. Now, it's not saying that God is, that we're off the hook from like going places. It's saying we just need to change the wording a little bit to say that we aren't the ones that bring God. You know, we don't have this big reservoir of God and we're bringing it to people. God is there already, but we are called to partner in the work that He is already doing. The Holy Spirit is alive and well and working around the world. How can we partner with that? And that's a big part of what we as, you know, Ohio Conference churches are being called to do is discern where God is at work and how can we partner with that work. And that's something that, you know, we as a church are already doing. We're thinking about, you know, we've had speakers come in. We went and visited the rehabilitation center. And then the question I think we need to be praying about is, you know, is God calling us to partner in that work in some way, shape, or form? We don't know. But that's just one example that we are called as God's ambassadors to go out from this building and to partner with God in the different ways that He is at work in the time, in the place around us. So Lent is that time of preparation, of preparing for Easter, preparing for the temptations that will be coming, to live in the Word as Jesus lived in the Word. It's a time of purification, a time to be purified from the sin that blinds us, that we are unaware of in our own lives. And it's a time of participation, to participate in the mission of God that is moving forward in our communities, in our state, in our country, and in our world. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the perfect example that you gave us when you walked this earth here. Lord, you knew the Word. You studied the Word, and you had a response to whoever was asking you, whether it was Satan in temptations, whether it was Pharisees or Sadducees that were questioning you, or whether it was sincere people who just wanted to know what the truth is. And you knew and you lived the Word in all those circumstances. Lord, I pray that we can do the same. Lord, I pray that we can be open to Your Spirit and be attentive to Your Spirit, that You would open our eyes to the areas that we are blind, that You would purify us of the areas that we need purified from, and that You would also open our eyes to the places that You are moving in our midst. Maybe You're calling us to go somewhere. You're calling us to be someone. You're calling us to be somewhere. Lord, we don't know. We know from studying Your Word that You are active in this world around us and that You've called us to partner in Your activity. So, Lord, I pray that You'd give us those eyes to see. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.